This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, a very good morning. How are you?
A very good morning to you. Can I just add my voice and say, not only do I love Bafana, because he is an absolute tremendous friend of Israel, but can we just give it up to the real Prince Harry behind the scenes, who's always just such sunshine to cross to?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely right. Rolene, what a week of Israel reporting it's been. And of course, ending yesterday in the Jerusalem Day March. Now, yesterday wasn't Jerusalem Day. What, the reason that they had it yesterday and not today?
Well, because today we're going to go into Shabbat. So, you know, we will always ensure that the laws of Shabbat are respected. And also many people would train in and bus in from around the country. So we have to respect those parameters. You know, I don't know if you can hear, but the school next to me are having a kids' celebration and they're singing beautiful songs about Jerusalem. We just heard Yerushalayim, Shel Zahav, and now they're singing beautifully. So we can definitely sense the spirit of Jerusalem all around us.
So let's talk about the march yesterday, because of course what's newsworthy is when people misbehave. But let's give it a full context before we talk about some of the poor behavior, because what I saw, I had family members there, they were sending me videos, it just looked incredible. And then you read the news and you hear people shouting death to Arabs and you get a very different perspective. What really did happen?
Well, look, like with all news stories, the most sensational will sell. I mean, this is Israel. We know that the news agencies are looking for trouble. But I want to reiterate, for the 50,000 people who marched, it was largely peaceful. It was beautiful, culminating at the Kotel where people were singing songs. We had quite a big WITSO delegation from Florida and from Australia there joining in. You know, you could definitely get the sense of the spirit of Jerusalem. However, there were elements from both sides, because I think we need to stress that it was from both sides provoking each other. We had Palestinians commenting to journalists, making provocative comments, and we had extremists. And unfortunately, there are extremists in Israel, and they are emboldened by certain elements within the government. And unfortunately, they do get the lion's share of the headlines.
Mm, mm. So 50,000 people, does it follow a very specific agenda? How does the Jerusalem Day March work?
Very specific route, and it goes through the Muslim quarter, it goes past the Damascus Gate, which, you know, many of the Palestinians feel that is insightful and inflammatory. I don't see how people marching peacefully could possibly be insightful, but shopkeepers were advised in the Muslim quarter maybe to close their shops by the time the marchers came through. We know that Jerusalem, especially East Jerusalem, is an area of contention with the Palestinians. We had some Palestinians speaking to media yesterday saying, you know, the Jews have guns and that's how they control us, and Europe and America want to make us a minority, which really doesn't help, because then all that does is it bolsters the more extreme. And we did have extremists in that in the contingent, including from the ultra-racist Lahav group, who were saying, we're coming to burn your villages. And where do they get that? Do they get that from members of the government who've said, you know, it's fine that we burnt down Huwara. In fact, the government should be responsible for that. So, you know, unfortunately, nobody's going to write about 50,000 people marching peacefully, but they are going to find those pockets of incitement.
So the march largely peaceful, but obviously there is this element, and that is aligned with political extremism within government. Take us through that.
Well, it is. You know, just a couple of months ago when we had that horrific terror attack in Huwara and the subsequent response to that, where buildings and cars were set on fire, and we had a member of Otzma Yehudit. Yes, he was sanctioned by the Prime Minister and the President, and there was an investigation open against him, who said it's good that this has happened. And then we had Bezalel Smotrich, the finance minister, say, well, you know, this is something that the Israeli government needs to do. And when comments like that come from a minister in the government, a minister who's the leader or the co-chair of a party that is seen as extreme and inflammatory, all that it does is it emboldens those more extreme elements within society, and we have some of the situations we had yesterday. They were also attacking journalists. You know, journalists, like us or loathe us, we're there to do a job. We're there to cover the story, and behavior like that from either side certainly does not help anybody's case in the media.
What is to be gained by this type of behavior from the far right political parties? I'm pretty sure that even they don't believe in the level of discrimination and this kind of rhetoric, and yet they somehow don't seem to be curtailing their supporters, who might do so in their name. Have they been challenged on it?
Well, we are starting to see chasms starting to grow in the coalition. We are starting to see situations where the National Security Minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, who's a very, very polarizing figure, not be included in security briefings because there's an element of distrust from our security echelon. You must remember that this is a man who did not serve in the army. In fact, as was pointed out to me by a friend of mine who has served in Israel's security forces, that the only knowledge that he has of security is being arrested as a suspect. You know, this is a man who's now our security, a national security minister, where he has had clashes with the police who have said, you're going too far. You know, this is not the way we handle things. We've had the Prime Minister and the President also saying to him, you actually need to calm down. Some of your language is inflammatory. But he also knows he has a big base of support, especially amongst young people, which actually frightens me, because is this the future of this country, where we have a large contingent of young people who look up to him as a role model? You know, we can't forget that we've just commemorated Yom HaZikaron, Memorial Day, and families asked him not to attend their memorials, which he insisted on doing so anyway. So, you know, we do have a concern that we have these elements in the Knesset. But he does have a supporter base, because when you say, I'm going to boycott votes in the Knesset on budget, and we know that passing the budget is absolutely crucial to any Israeli coalition government, because I don't believe that you're giving enough to the Negev and to the Galilee, you are shoring up that support base. And one can understand why people in the Negev and the Galilee are saying, hey, we're going to stand behind this guy. He seems to be the one fighting for our rights to get a larger chunk of the budget pie.
And that leads us on to the clashes within the coalition. Gantz looking stronger at the polls. What's happening?
Well, there have been so many polls conducted of late, you know, measuring the performance of the coalition government. And there was a lot of talk last week with Operation Shield and Arrow that Netanyahu would see a boost in his popularity. What is quite interesting to watch is he saw like a boost. And then it came down again. So according to a new poll that has been conducted by Dr. Menachem Laser's Panels Politics, I think it sounds like something that you put on a burner.
Exactly. it comes with a moisturizer.
Apparently, according to this poll, if elections were held today, the Likud would only receive 25 seats. This is down 3 seats from a poll held last week that had them at 28. Benny Gantz's National Unity would receive the majority of the seats at 28. And they've gone up since last week. And when respondents were asked who is more suited to serve as Prime Minister, 42% said Gantz and 38% said Netanyahu. So it's very interesting to watch, although the majority who voted for the coalition favored Netanyahu over Gantz.
It's very interesting, and every time the coalition is under threat, this must be a very real concern for Netanyahu, knowing that this could go the other way if Israel goes back to the polls.
Well, it should be a concern for the Prime Minister, especially when there are chasms growing on a daily basis in the coalition, especially now on budget. In fact, last night, Netanyahu had to warn his coalition, you know, stop looking out for your own interests and start to serve the people, you know, which is language that you kind of want to hear from the leader, the Prime Minister of the country. This is because there are Haredi parties refusing to budge on budget demands, demanding you know, more and more pieces of the pie. And of course, you're going to get opposition from even the Likud and other sectors of society who are saying, you know, you can't just demand. These things are open to negotiation. Yesterday, we had a situation where we saw clashes between Smotrich and Ben-Gavir because Ben-Gavir refused to vote on the budget. And walked out. He said, I'm not coming to vote on the budget until more money is given to the Negev and the Galilee. And you had an unnamed official, senior official in the coalition who said Ben-Gavir is more interested in the media than he is in serving the people. So this is what we're seeing on a daily basis. And it doesn't give Israelis a huge amount of confidence in the ability of the government to get things done.
Yeah, very real concern. But finally, and we've got to end on this note, because what a week it's been with unicorns and seals.
Well, I'm in love, Howard. The hottest blonde has arrived on Israel's beaches. Her name is Yulia, and she is a very, very rare endangered monk seal. And the whole country is absolutely captivated by her. So here's the backstory. Monk seals are amongst the most endangered species in the world. And the other day, this little beauty arrived on our beaches, and the marine biologists were concerned, was she hurt? Was something wrong? No, she was there to shed her coat, which is what monk seals do. It takes about 3 days. And if you look at pictures of her, I've got pictures up on my Facebook page, she actually has a little smile on her face. So what they did was they cordoned off an area where she could have her privacy and be undisturbed, and 24-hour rotation of volunteers watched out for her, made sure that she was okay. And marine biologists in Israel were saying, you know, we're so excited, we can barely sleep. You don't see the species. We know she's been to Lebanon, she's been sighted in Turkey, and now she's
quite a girl,
Israel.
She's quite a girl. I mean, she gets around.
She's quite a girl. She does get around, but in the nicest possible way.
Of course, disparage. Let's not disparage her. It is true, yeah.
She reportedly swam out yesterday, and we thought, okay, Yulia's gone. She's done her thing. She's shed her coat, but she came back. Is she making aliyah?
Well, it's the Israeli food. I get it. I absolutely get it. There's every reason for her to come back. And was her name, Yulia, is that the Israeli form of Julia, that's how she goes. That's by the name Yulia.
Well, a little boy who was one of the first to actually see her named her Yulia. So it's kind of stuck.
Oh, I
love that. So, I don't know, maybe she's our newest Ola Chadasha. Well, welcome to Israel, Yulia.
What a job Nefesh B'Nefesh are doing. And that's where we leave it. Raleen Marks wishing you a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch you next week.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.